Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This is Kate.
And I'm Mark.
Today's cast, the Effective Senior Manager Conference podcast, part one of one.
The question this cast answered are, what is the Effective Senior Manager Conference? What topics does the ESMC cover? And how can I continue learning about my management career?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we get started, did you know Manager Tools hosts virtual events? Our effective manager, effective communicator, and effective hiring manager can be presented to your organization over Zoom. If you want to learn more, send us a note to customerservice@manager-tools.com. And now, here's the show.
So we've been asked for years to provide more training for not 20 years,
no, not
although
20.
It is 20 years for us here, right? But not quite 20, but a while, many years, to provide more training, especially for those people who have been to the Effective Manager Conference, which is kind of our flagship. I almost said introductory kind of conference.
No, but it's flagship.
It's flagship, right? And managers, even non-managers who want to know more about what lies ahead of them, above them in the future, say things like, hey, once I've got the basics down, how can I get to the next level? What's different about managing individual contributors versus managers or even senior managers? They want to know things like, when do I have to start playing politics?
Yesterday.
How are the decisions made above me? How am I going to be affected by those decisions? And how am I going to be expected to respond? How can I succeed? When it sure seems like, hey, the rules are going to change. And we want to answer those questions. We want to engage with those conversations. And the rules do indeed change.
Yeah. The Effective Senior Manager Conference bridges the learning gap between the Effective Manager Conference, which we've had for 19 years, I think, and the Effective Executive Conference, which we launched for the first time just a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And look, if you're a senior manager, and frankly, if you're even a manager thinking about becoming a senior manager, if you're just a frontline manager, things are happening to you that you don't really understand. It all happens sort of behind a veil and there's not enough communication, so on. And when you become a senior manager, you're affected by the executives at the table above you, but you're not actually at the table, as you probably well learned. Even so, you're still closely and regularly exposed to the winds that happen. I say winds like the winds blow of executive life in your organization. And you're expected to respond smartly, even though they all know, the executives all know, well, we really didn't teach them how to manage. And we really haven't told them how the organization works. And we really haven't told them much about their job other than now you have more people. And that's where we all at Manager Tools think we fit in, is to help you understand what's going on and give you specific actionable guidance. And this conference, the Effective Senior Manager Conference, will give you the tools that executives take for granted that they probably learned on their own the hard way, but they don't regularly share. And we want you to know them without having to learn it the hard way and stepping on yourself and making a fool of yourself, or even worse, feeling paralyzed because you don't know what the right answer is and you're afraid of being wrong. And so what ends up happening is you do nothing, or you continue to do what you've always been doing, which is a recipe for disaster as you move up the corporate chain.
Mm-hmm. The level at which you are subject to the winds of executive life, and like for me, the analogous kind of situation from the previous part of people's careers is the impact and influence that the promotion and compensation conversations have on people who don't know that they're happening. So when you're an individual contributor and you're not aware of how compensation is figured out in your organization, and you go to learn that, to me, it's that gap in knowledge that's pretty similar, where it's you're kind of subject to something that you really have no insight into. And this next gap is a similar like jump in knowledge.
Yeah. And it's, if you just want to compare it directly, It's just like going from individual contributor to manager. And everybody assumes it becomes because you're just becoming a senior manager. Therefore, it's kind of more of the same. Mm. And it's not. It's really not.
Yeah. So we brought this conference to you. We're so excited. And we want to cover today, we're going to talk about the logistics of the Effective Senior Manager Conference and also the topics covered during the event.
When I was writing this podcast, I assumed, you know, at the bottom of all the show notes, if you're a licensee, you have access to our show notes. If you're not a licensee, you should become a licensee to support our work, helping other managers who can't afford to pay for it all over the world. But I assumed that I would be linking to two casts that I assumed I had written over the last 20 years. One would be called the Effective Manager Conference, where we laid out all the details. And for those of you who don't understand how Manager Tools works, our largest audience is obviously our listening audience. Hundreds of thousands of people, even millions, every month. And I was shocked to discover that we do not have an Effective Manager Conference podcast. I just assumed somewhere along the way, we said, you know what? It would be good to lay out all the stuff we teach in the Effective Manager Conference. Now, we send out emails about it. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard ads for it and so on, but we've never done a cast about Effective Manager Conference. We also, embarrassingly, have never done a cast. It would have come out in the last year or so on the Effective Executive Conference. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought, oh, I shouldn't write this then. We haven't done it. And then I realized, no, if I'm in the audience and the biggest audience, again, is the podcast audience, why wouldn't we take some time to explain what's involved in the conference to help you make better purchasing decisions, but also, even if you don't purchase, to understand a little bit more about what's happening above you. If we can educate you so you can make smarter decisions, whether you come to the conference or not, we'll consider this a win. Now, we're not really good at marketing, and we don't really try to sell because we started out really as a consulting firm, my previous firm, Horseman & Company. But obviously, we want you to come.
Yeah.
We really like presenting. Sarah and I just got back from Boston. She presented for 2 days. I presented in Atlanta, or I'm presenting in, no, I'm going to Atlanta to present. I was just in Chicago presenting. Last week or the week before, I presented the Virtual Effective Hiring Manager Conference because some people were saying, we really want to hear Mark, which is dumb because all of our presenters are really good. So I was astounded again that we did not have podcasts on the Effective Manager Conference. Trust me, that will be remedied at some point in the future, 15 years too late, and also on the Effective Executive Conference. Again, so you can make better decisions, but you can also get exposed to the kind of things that if you're a manager or even an individual contributor, more of what happens above you. It's really good. You know, too many managers and even individual contributors are worried that there is a right answer and they don't know it. And because they're afraid of being wrong, they take no action for fear that if they don't know what the right thing is, their likely guess is going to be wrong. And that's just so inefficient. It's inefficient for the organization. It's inefficient for your people. It makes you uncomfortable, which makes you less likely to take risks and be clear about what you're doing. So the more we can educate you, the better.
Mm-hmm. Were you thinking that maybe the reason you thought that there was an Effective Manager Conference podcast was because of all that work we did for the first one with the prep and the photos? Remember, of San Antonio, we did all of that work.
Yeah.
And I swear there was a cast for that one.
Oh, well, San Antonio wasn't even the first one, right? It was the second one.
Yeah.
The first one was at Dulles.
Right.
I don't know. I think what we did was, we said to ourselves, we've already put out, by the time we started doing public EMCs, Effective Manager Conferences, we had already put out one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation, at least the basic principles. We've since added, oh, there's got to be 50 or 75 more casts about one-on-ones, another 50 about feedback, probably 25 about coaching, and another 50 about delegation. And so you kind of think, well, I've talked about all that stuff, but we've never actually said, okay, here's how the conference works. Here's how it's structured. Here's what you're going to learn, and so on. And a lot of times people ask us, and of course, we'll have that for the Effective Senior Manager Conference. I just finished doing it. We'll have a data sheet so you can have information and go to your boss with it. But we thought we'd give you even deeper level understanding so that you can be ready to justify the spending associated with a training event.
Okay, so our first Effective Senior Manager Conference, or ESMC, will be conducted virtually over 4 days in a 2-week time span, Wednesday, Thursday, May 28 and 29, and then again, the next Wednesday, Thursday, June 4th and 5th. And it will be Mark. Mark will be presenting the first 1 to 2 ESMCs due to our other presenting team's busy schedules, right? Yeah. People are on the road. So it's those dates, May 28th, 29th, June 4th and 5th, 4 sessions, each of which will be 2.5 hours long. And we will be recording the session. So if a paid attendee can't avoid missing one, they can review the recording after the event.
Yeah, I think also if somebody paid and attended and said, you know, I'd like to go back over that.
Yeah.
I think we would allow them to do that, obviously. Now, that said, guys, let's be honest. Don't ask us if you haven't paid to watch the video. That's not something we're doing right now. We may end up creating a video version of this.
Sure.
But yeah, the idea is to deliver the training. And what we like about the training, as opposed to video, even though video is good, is that it's interactive. And if you're doing a video course, one of the problems is you don't get the interactivity and you don't get nearly as much effectiveness out of the practice. The ESMC has slightly less practice than the EMC, but that's what everybody, when people come to the EMC, they're like, wow, I thought I understood it. I thought I knew it. I listened to the podcast, but now I had to start applying it to my individual situation. And not everybody's case is an edge case. Everyone always says, well, my situation is unique, when in fact, 95% of the time they're not. But there are subtleties to your organization that we can't possibly answer all the subtleties for everybody in every podcast and every type of organization that exists, size, shape, color, all that stuff. But the idea is to make it as interactive as possible, and that requires training sessions.
Mm-hmm. And we expect there'll be future ones, right? We expect that we'll be putting up some others virtually and then in person in the future. So virtually probably end of the summer, July, August, and that we will also then be adding some in-person public ESMCs to the calendar. And that might happen before the end of the year. We're pretty excited about it. We've been moving pretty quick, so we'd really like to get those on the calendar. When the public events that are in person are ready, planned, they'll get posted to the website and we'll have ads in the podcast and show notes. It'll be in the newsletters. We'll definitely communicate that it's available, it's up, it's ready, and you can sign up if you would like to come in person, which is, I would suggest, more fun.
Oh, way more fun. And we get to know you too.
Yeah.
And now we have a face to a name or the face to an email address. We know your particular situation. I was just in Boston when Sarah was presenting the Effective Manager Conference, and we got to know, I mean, there's 15, 16 people there, and they all left with their email address. And she said to them, now look, as long as you're with the company that brought you here, you can ask us questions anytime. And when you write in, because we know you went to, for instance, to the Boston conference, unless Sarah's on the road or traveling in a plane, that email that you send in is going to be referred to her because she has personal knowledge of you from attending and getting to know you at the conference. And look, one other thing, if you're a corporate client with this kind of need, helping a bunch of managers get to the next level, we will be available to deliver those, a client, a specific to a particular corporate or organizational client, immediately after this first event in late May and June. And all you have to do to have that discussion with us is email Maggie, our corporate salesperson, at maggie@manager-tools.com. And we'll get everything sorted for you.
Yeah. We say it all the time, too, that we tell people to email us and they don't. And I always wonder if it's because they really think we're too busy and we wouldn't do it. However, someone from Boston, Matt from Tiny Spoon Chef, wrote in, and Sarah was on a plane today. So I got the email and I said to Matt, hey, happy to help. I forwarded his note to Sarah as well, but I answered his question and then forwarded him to Sarah. So he took us up on our please email us, let's be friends thing. And he got both of us. He got me and Sarah in the same day because we really mean it. We really want to help. And so you can email Maggie too, and she'll help you as well.
I don't remember Matt's colleague, but he attended with a colleague from Tiny Spoon Chef, and they were so impressed with the delivery by Sarah that they gave her a little wooden tiny spoon.
I thought it's so cute.
It's cute. It's very cute.
Really cute.
And very excited. In fact, Sarah and I were saying, okay, can you do something for us? No, we're not in California. Okay, fine.
Darn it.
Yes, pricing being what it is in California.
Pardon the interruption, folks. Just reaching out to my Canadian friends, letting y'all know we are going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia, May 6th and 7th with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. If you'd like to learn more or register to join us, check us out today at manager-tools.com/register. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so now you know when and where, and you know how to get it into your organization, and you know that if you want to come in person, we are spinning that up for you. What's going to be happening when you're there, right? What are the topics covered, right? So the senior manager role has been made naturally, beautifully, into a quietly wicked testing ground.
For future execs.
For future execs, yeah. You're lulled into believing.
Yeah, when you get promoted from one manager role to another, right?
Right.
Just managing.
Yeah. You're lulled, like very Venus flytrap kind of way, into believing, oh, I'm still just managing.
Yeah. And what's funny about that is companies admit it when you, it's the wrong word to say confront them on it, but it's like, okay, you know this role is different. You know it's harder. We're talking a multi-layer organization. You didn't train this person as a manager. You now know that this role, they're going to start having more eyeballs on them from above. And you know the role is different. And you don't take them aside and say, we've got a two-day class, or we've got a six-hour class, or here's somebody you're going to shadow for a week. Nothing. And we admit it. We think organizations should do it. And if every organization trained all their managers, ideally on our stuff, but even on something else at the manager level, and then again at the senior manager level and the executive level, I could justify in saying, okay, there's not a place for manager tools other than for all the people in the world whose organizations don't have the resources to do it. But if you're a Fortune 500 company, you have the resources to do this, and it still doesn't happen. So for now, we're basically filling that gap.
Yeah. And it's easy to think, hey, I'm still just managing, but you're not when you're managing other managers. It's not just managing. You've got to push harder to get your message down through more than your immediate directs. You've got to push that telephone game even more forcefully. You not only have to tell your directs, you have to then persuade others to tell for you and to get the message across correctly.
Yeah.
That's the one that always gets to me is, you know, by the time it gets down a couple levels, is what they heard, what you hoped to communicate.
Yeah. It's not only that it doesn't get through at all.
Right.
Because of sandpaper, organizational sandpaper.
Yeah. Or your directs don't think it's important or.
Yeah. Or they just literally don't carry the water. But as we've said before, Horstmann's law of organizational communication, say something seven times and half your directs will tell you they've heard it only once. And for those of you who are about to write to me and say, what are you saying? Did everybody else hear it seven times? No, that's the point of the aphorism. It's supposed to have some humor, even though everyone here at Manager Tools tells me I don't have a sense of humor. But if I say, you say something seven times and half your directs heard it once, that means the other half didn't hear it at all. That's how hard to get messages through your organization is. And managers just think, okay, it's kind of like managing individual senior managers think, oh, I just have to tell my people. And then I think I always told my people when my boss told me. But the classic example of that is some manager getting an email from their boss and forwarding directly onto their people with the letters FYI at the top of it, as if that message is not supposed to be consumed, understood, carefully considered, repackaged, potentially tailored and customized for your particular people when you're a frontline manager. That's why we say all the time, managers are not ever communicated to. The assumption from the people who are sending you stuff is you are being communicated through. And that means you would describe that message differently to your directs than some other manager in some other department. And that happens all the way up the chain. And if you wonder why people at the bottom don't know things, it's because people at the top are trying really hard to do it. In many cases, sometimes they're not. But every manager basically sends down something, if they do send something, that is basically, oh, let me tell you what happened three levels up. Well, the individual contributor and the manager frontline don't know what's been happening, have no context for interpreting that message, and you're leaving your directs to try to figure out what it is, and it's dumb. Yeah, really dumb.
Mm-hmm. If you consider that, or if you think that managing individual contributors, I think of it as a primary order problem, the mistake of too many senior managers is to think of their problem as being secondary order, when in fact, they're tertiary right. order. And this is one of the reasons why there's so many older, stuck senior managers.
Yes, never going to be promoted to executive, won't go back to manager, aren't learning, organization isn't training them. And so the only way they realize they've proven to the, they don't realize they've proven to their company that they can't be an executive because they're still managing at a primary level rather than a tertiary level. And so they look for a promotion somewhere else. They go to another firm. And frankly, you may not realize it, folks, but your company is happy about that. You were not in the conversations involved in session seeds and succession planning. And so they're like, okay, now we have an opening and we're going to fill it with somebody different, somebody who's more capable of moving up the chain of command. Look, when you're a senior manager, the cascade of delegations that you get from above become a deluge. And senior managers complain to us about this all the time, like, God, I'm getting so much stuff from my boss. But think about that relative to your role previously when you were just a manager. You used to be getting only one manager's delegation from your boss being a senior manager. You would get your stuff that she delegated to you. But now when you're a senior manager, you're getting all the stuff that you would delegate to one of your managers, plus all the stuff that you'll need to delegate to your other managers. And by the way, if you're thinking as a senior manager, maybe my people aren't good enough and I won't delegate, you're doomed, okay? Because you can't not delegate. We have said it before. We've repeatedly said it.
Yeah.
Senior manager is kind of the first step to becoming an executive, and the single greatest development tool for executives is delegation. Now, you're not going to be told this one is 20% more important than that one. This one is 15% less important. Let me sit down with you and go over your priorities. Now, frankly, that should happen, but it doesn't. And I don't know that I've ever seen it happening except in exceptional leaders at higher levels, directors, senior directors, VPs, and so on. And if you don't delegate or you delegate poorly, the organization is going to kind of shrug its shoulders because I hate to tell you folks, the organization cares about the organization and it doesn't care that much about you. I'm not saying your boss doesn't care about you, but the unofficial rule about developing senior managers and directors, the sort of mid-level people that help the organization run smoothly is, if I have to tell you, you're not smart enough. You should have been able to figure it out. Is this inefficient? Oh my gosh, yes. Is it dumb? Oh my gosh, yes. But as we said for years and years and years, this is reality manager tools, not fantasy tools. We're not going to tell you the way things should be and then have you wish that your boss do it. We're going to tell you what the way the world is now, and we're going to tell you how to respond to it.
Yeah, it'd be great to be on fantasy tools. It sounds awesome. It does also, though, sound a little bit like fantasy football, which I would also like to be on. But I have been banned from.
Yeah, see, I actually was thinking more of Fantasy Island.
Yeah, which fair.
I think might have been remade, but I remember Ricardo Montalban and Hervé Villechaize, which, by the way, was filmed, part of it was filmed, the house that he lived in was filmed about a mile from the house that I grew up in Arcadia, nice. California, at the Arboretum. And that was the Queen Anne's Cottage. That was where they filmed it. In the show, it looked like it's right on the beach and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Love it.
The magic of movies.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of which, I just drove by the Hope Floats house the other day. Magic of movies. Although
that's right.
That house is, it the outside and inside match, and it is on the river, like it shows in the movie.
Oh, that's very unusual.
In Smithville. Yeah, it's great.
One of the other small movie things I will share is a lot of people in our community know that I live in Pebble Beach, and the first ever inside a house movie shot ever filmed that was not in a soundstage in Hollywood was at Cypress Point here in Pebble Beach.
Oh, cool.
A mile from my house. Yeah.
All right.
And apparently this was the playground for Hollywood people. It's not so much anymore. Some of them own houses, but they're never here. But yeah.
Cool. Okay. Back to our effective senior manager conference. And I want to, since we don't have a podcast about it, we want to share with you that at our effective manager conference, each session of the four virtual meetings is centered around the four parts of the manager's trinity: one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. We also include in the feedback session, by the way, an overview of rolling out the trinity. And the ESMC is similar. We've got session one, entitled Team One. Becoming a senior manager is the beginning of your journey from managing one team to being a member of Team One. When you start managing managers, you're beginning to be seen as, and therefore evaluated as, a future executive. Got this great future possibility ahead of you. And problem with that, if you're not aware of it especially, is that it's completely normal to continue to do what got you promoted to senior manager. But it's not what the organization expects of you, and they don't tell you.
No.
There's these little like Easter eggs around that it might be true, and maybe you have this uneasy sense about it.
Because that's a good way to train people, Easter eggs.
Oh, yes. I very much enjoy it. It's really not clear.
Right.
And this means learning how to avoid trash can fires, avoid the dumpster fires, and also to mass at the point of decision, which may itself be one of the top two or three most important concepts in the lives of all executives.
And if you were an Executive Tools subscriber, you have probably heard those two casts, which I recorded in the last few months. Mass at the Point of Decision is one of my all-time favorite casts. And it's a fundamental concept. And when I say it, people, their eyes kind of go blank. And related to it, of course, is avoiding the trash can fires. You may not be able to avoid a dumpster fire, but you've got to learn that stuff. And we're going to cover that in the Effective Senior Manager Conference. And we'll teach you how to do all this while also refining your goal setting process and how to manage managers, which is very different. Now, it's not very different. It's different, significantly different, but not incredibly different. And then leading on from managing managers in our second session, which we call organizational management or org management. Every once in a while, by the way, Kate, I get a question from the field, like, you keep saying org. What is that? Are you saying orb? I said, no, we're not talking about orbs. We're talking about orgs, short for organizational, because if you have to type the show notes, typing organizational all the time just gets long. In session two, we give you the tools to help you manage the multi-level organization, essentially continuing on the managing managers theme at the end of session one. If your results are what matters, and if you don't know it now, let's be clear, they are, for the rest of your career, folks, the stated goals your boss gives you are your entire life. If you don't get those, you're not doing well, and you're not going to get promoted, and you're not even going to be considered for promotion until you start hitting your goals. Now, you might say, well, my goals are unclear. Well, we're going to help you with that, too. You've got to spend significant time finding out from your boss, because most bosses don't do a good job of communicating them. We'll talk about how to do that. It's a very straightforward process, but you ought to learn about it in detail. You've also got to communicate them, and then you've got to harp on them. And a lot of senior executives, senior managers, directors, senior directors, VPs, and so on, as we climb the chain, depending on how tall your organization is, say, my boss doesn't have time for me. If you really think about it, folks, he or she actually does, but you're not talking to them about things that are important to them. Mm. The only thing they want to talk to you about is how are you delivering your goals? Because they have five of you reporting to them, and all five of those goals interlock in a way that allow your boss, a director, senior director, VP, whatever, to do what she needs to do. And if you're talking about trash can fires or about something else she doesn't want you working on, she's just going to ignore you. Now, you might say, well, why does she ignore me? Because she literally doesn't have time to do anything other than what her goals are, and you need to learn that now. In fact, you have to learn, and we'll talk about this openly and extensively in the Effective Senior Manager Conference, you have to learn to not care about some of the metrics in your organization that are related to but are not directly actually your goals. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell people all the time, every organization has raggedy edges. When I say organization, I mean yours and your bosses and your peers and the CEOs. There's raggedy edges. There are trash can fires everywhere. And you have to learn to focus. And too many managers, as managers, have learned, my boss doesn't tell me what my priorities are, so I'll try to spin 14 plates all at the same time so that none of them fall down. The problem is you're learning a bad lesson. The lesson you need to learn is figure out which five matter and let the other nine fall. Now, that scares people, but I can assure you the people who get promoted are the ones who take care of the five that are really important. They concentrate their efforts on those five, and they make sure to deliver them. So when you say, my boss doesn't have time for me, actually she does, if you're talking about what she wants to talk about it. You also got to learn how to facilitate the reporting of status on your goals. Not the reporting on status on everything. Don't have that in your staff meeting. Don't have people report on everything. Have people report on things that basically align to what your team's goals are. And you've got to teach them to proactively communicate, and we'll teach you how to do that. Senior managers who do well are highly regarded for narrowing their focus, achieving their objectives, and not just ignoring, but actually forgetting about the fluff that distracts organizations from their vital contributions. If you've ever felt like you seem not aligned, you're doing a lot of different stuff, no offense, we love you, but you're part of the problem. And if your boss is telling you about all kinds of different stuff, you may have to decide, she says there's nine, but I know I can't do nine. I'm going to pick the four that I think are most important, which leads to another executive duels cast, which is called a new mode of failure, where you don't get clear guidance and you have to guess. And sometimes you're going to be wrong.
Yeah. And because this is a shift, you're likely going to feel a lot like you'll be, air quotes, doing less and communicating more, even right. though at that level, communication is collaboration and it is therefore still doing many, many things.
Yeah.
Because of this feeling and this situation you're in, session two of the training will also teach you how to build a communications plan, how to conduct town halls and skip level meetings, which we get tons of questions about whenever we talk about talking to your directs and communicating and all that. So we're going to cover those things to help you understand that you've got to inspect what you expect, and communication will be your biggest opportunity and also your hardest challenge.
Yeah. If you're not a natural communicator, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, do something that feels uncomfortable routinely, because if you don't push the message and push the message and push the message, it won't get through. And people won't make choices to align to the key things that you're telling them are priorities.
Yeah. Session three, then, executive systems, will expose you to the winds above you that either fill your sails or blow your house down. We're going to educate you on them, let you know what's going on there. We'll lay out the basics of the executive trinity, strategy, operations, and people, and how you can learn to integrate the principles into your present role, even if you aren't included in the higher level versions of them.
You can start now. There are actually managers who have learned the executive trinity from me and apply them in small ways in their organization. So they get reps as an individual manager, as a senior manager, as a director, as a senior director. So when they're finally in a steel cage death match meeting about who gets promoted and who doesn't, they're masters at it. If you walk into a strategy session or an operations meeting two or three levels above you, and you don't know how the systems work, you're going to be a deer in the headlights and you're going to get run over. And as executives will always tell you, the cost of being at these meetings is not your mind, it's not your interest, it's not your creativity, it's your voice. And if you sit there for three or four monthly meetings and you don't say anything because you're, quote, learning, unquote, you're not useful and you're taking up space. Smaller meetings are better and you can get disinvited. And that's the kiss of death for a senior manager or above.
Speaking of steel cage death match, we're going to cover in session three during this training layoffs because they happen all too frequently.
Frequently.
There you go. This is my third podcast recording today, so I'm getting I'm coming to the end of my good words.
Right.
Which, yes. By the way, we talked about high eyes earlier today, and I suggested, as I often do when I present, that part of the reason high eyes seem articulate is because of the law of averages. If you say so many words, probably at some point, some of them will sound good.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm hoping that on my law, I'm doing good on my law of averages today for words and articulation. So layoffs happen. They happen more frequently than we would like, and they ought to be done well.
Yes, and you can learn how to do them masterfully. It's not hard. It's not complex. It's just a discipline, and we're going to lay it all out for you. I've consulted to too many layoff situations, and the passiveness with which managers approach layoffs is sinful. And if you can work harder on the front end, it's easier on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, session four, executive reach. After we've laid out these systems, the executive system, strategy system, operation systems, people systems, we're going to give you the tools to start growing upwards in how you experience organizational life, which is cascading down upon your head every day. We're going to teach you how to swim upstream, which managers are always talking about but don't know how to do, but we'll tell you specific things you can do. How to align your calendar with the organization's, and your organization does have an executive calendar, a cadence, a rhythm, and you should know it, and you should not be surprised every quarter when all of a sudden your boss wants four different reports all of a sudden.
Right.
You could find that out. It's not hard. And we're also going to give you a foundation of executive politics, because you'll need it. And we made the joke earlier in this guidance about playing politics. We don't actually think of it as playing politics, as we've said many times. When you look up at the top of your organization, what you call politics, they call collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
There are no human organizations without politics. If you want a role without politics, die. Okay, it's never going to happen. And a way to think about it is politics are no more than relationship effects. So we're going to give you some guidance about how to build relationships internally and externally in the organization and hopefully follow through with that and make sure you're doing the right thing, because an executive's internal and external networks are what makes them successful. If you are listening to the Executive Tools Cast, we strongly encourage you to listen to a podcast that is starting to affect you, particularly for a senior manager, and it's called Ditch the Ladder. If you listen to that cast and can't understand the nature of politics in terms of careers and promotions and the non-linearity and the non-verticality of what happens at executive levels, if you listen to that and understand it, you'll understand why it's all about relationships. And relationships aren't hard. You just have to stick to it. You may feel uncomfortable about it, but your discomfort doesn't make it hard. It's not complex. It's not complicated. It responds very well to discipline, as do the vast majority of managerial behaviors.
Mm-hmm. For us, y'all, it's really exciting to be talking about these things and to finally be able to bring this to you. You've been asking. We're finally responding 20 years on from the founding of Manager Tools. There's really a training roadmap now. The effective manager, the effective senior manager, the effective executive. So join us at an ESMC for specific actionable guidance about how to succeed going from manager to executive. We'd love to see you.
That's great. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, y'all. That's it for this week, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.